Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners who are in the trenches, doing the work every day, changing lives. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I'm here with Tommy Donovan from Donovan Strength and Conditioning in O'Fallon, Missouri, which is the St. Louis area. Tommy, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Awesome, man. Glad to hear it. Glad to have you here today. Appreciate your time. Let's just get right into it. Tell us about Donovan Strength and Conditioning, what you do there, and how you make your impact on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. So we've been in business for a little over 10 years now, and we're comprised primarily of two things. Group strength and conditioning is kind of our overall banner. We have two different programs, one for adults and one for athletes. So we've kind of put a heavier spin on strength and a lot less conditioning over the time that we've been in business. But it's led us to where we're at today to kind of branded ourselves as a pretty good strength training facility for adults who want to be more active and want to engage with that side of fitness. And then we have a pretty solid reputation with the kids in the area from middle school, high school. And as they transition on to the next level, we've got a decent crew of college kids that come back and visit us throughout their off time throughout the year.
Cool. So you have under one roof, basically your general, just people coming in, want to feel better, look better, fitness crowd. And then you have the more sports specific, athlete specific. What kind of split is that? Like, how many people are in the adult fitness? How many people are on the athlete side, roughly?
Yeah, so, you know, I think probably this happens to a lot of trainers, right? They get hyped on the athlete side because it's fun, right? And I think we can connect with that. But it didn't take us long to realize how cyclical that side of business is. And so we definitely lean much heavier on the general population side of things where we usually like a max capacity on our athlete side is like 40 or 50. And that doesn't account for the team stuff that we might do contract wise scattered throughout the year. So on a typical, you know, a typical month, right, we probably have 30 to 40 students that are going to come in and train with us. And then on the flip side of it, we've got, you know, around 60, 70, 80, just depends on the time of year on the adult side. So we swing much heavier on the general population side.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 2-3 to 1, depending on what's in season and what's going on there.
Yeah.
Are you doing a lot of the coaching? Do you have other trainers underneath you? What's staffing look like?
Yeah. So right now we're super small on staff. It's me and one other person that manage all of the coaching sessions. So right now we're transitioning next week. I think we cut it down to 34 sessions that we'll run throughout the week. And we're pretty evenly split. I take half, she takes half, and it just kind of scatters throughout the week and days and times. We don't love running this low, but it's just where we're at right now. And honestly, like, this is the smoothest it's ever been for us having just a two-person staff.
Do you two split or bias one way or the other towards athlete or the gen pop, or is it kind of 50-50?
It's 50-50. We pick days, essentially, is what we did. And as recent as a couple months ago, we had a third coach that managed just some more of our general population conditioning classes, so not very heavy on the strength training side, you know, boot camp kind of stuff. And she was doing some early morning and some late night stuff. And she decided to go pursue something on her own. And so my other coach jumped at the opportunity for some more hours at the gym and more training time. So we really don't specify too much on who's training who. And, you know, it's kind of a testament to the fact that, like, we're speaking the same language. We built a good product that is pretty seamless from one coach to the next.
And what are your the group sessions look like for the Gen Pop? Because I'm sure the sports-specific stuff is – you can kind of niche down a lot, but, you know, I'm just Joe off the street that wants to come in and lose 30, 40 pounds. Am I in a group of 3, 8, 10? Am I getting my own programming? What is that structure?
Yeah, so we quit telling people it was small group because the groups aren't that small, but we also aren't very large either. So 12 is a max group size for us. And we felt like over the time that we've developed our process that that's been a pretty decent number if you do the work on the front end with every individual, that you feel like you can keep it as you know, pretty personal for a general strength conditioning program, right? So, you know, again, we live in the strength realm. You know, it is certainly a combination of powerlifting, calisthenics. We're not fast or sadistic, right? We're not trying to make people puke or pass out. The program that we sell, most of the time, if someone said, you know, keep it simple, weights and walking is usually what we're telling them to do. Come in and lift 3 or 4 days a week and then get out and walk on the other days. And certainly, like, you're going to get your more fit people, your more recreation-based people that have other activities that are biking, hiking, swimming, jogging, you know, tennis, golf, whatever. Like, we love movement, and so anything that we can get them to do. And this is just, you know, trying to get our general population to age well, right? Age gracefully. Keep your strength up. Make sure you're not, you know, losing muscle mass. The value of the workouts that we're doing are not how many calories you're burning in the session, right? It's the fact that, you know, you're taking care of your muscles, right? You're staying strong, and, you know, worst case scenario, like, you'll never have to say no because you're not physically strong enough to do it.
Awesome, man. Are you limited at all? I know 12 to 1, that sounds more like it's a quality coach to athlete ratio. Are you limited at all by size of your facility? Like, how big are you of an area are you training in? Can you run different sessions concurrently? What's that look like?
Yeah, so COVID changed a little bit of our model for us. It was probably one of the better things that happened, actually. So we just moved facilities last November, in the middle of COVID. We came out of a 5,000 square foot gigantic warehouse where we had, you know, we had our adults on one side of the gym, we had our athletes on the other side of the gym, we had 2,000 square feet of turf, and, you know, it was like kind of the dream facility I always thought I wanted until I had it. And then it wasn't for us, right? You know, too many people want to be a big gym, and, you know, more power to you, right? I mean, those are lives that you get the opportunity to touch and change. But if you're a coach, right, and you're still involved in that side of the product, it'll be really, really hard, we figured out, to have a big gym and still be a coach in it, right? So we moved, we scaled back quite a bit. Now our building sets us up for just want us a nicer front. We have office spaces, we have an entryway, we have lobby, we have nice bathrooms. And then now our gym space is 2,500 square feet. And so certainly we are limited, right? We have 12 stations in the gym, right? We have, you know, 3-4 station rigs that everyone has their own bar, bench, you know, set of rings, right? We've kind of had it stationed out that they can have their own space to do it. And so it gave us the safety and security that I think people probably wanted and needed during the COVID stuff. But now we're set up in a position where we feel really in control, right? So we've eliminated the chaos of numbers, and, you know, as far as what we see in the future, the facility that we're in right now has the opportunity to probably expand a little bit. So, you know, sometime in the next year, we'll probably demo some office space and give us another 700 square feet. But knowing what I know now and having been through the facilities I have over the years, 3,000 square feet is more than I could ever want or need to do what I think I'm best suited to do.
Cool. So as far as you have your class capacity, you have your size, you have your, you know, your client base that you have right now, without demoing walls, without moving into some gargantuan place, like, do you have a number in mind, like a max capacity or ideal perfect world where you'd want to be as far as total numbers go?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we're looking kind of that 150 person mark, I think, is where this facility probably manages pretty well. I think, again, just for, you know, facility logistics, I don't know how I get much more than that done without just scattering times all over the place. And, you know, it's not really what we want, right? We don't want to be slaves to it. We think, you know, as far as providing really good paying jobs for coaches and putting them in an environment, doing something they love with people that are, you know, that kind of fit our tribe, like, I think 150 is probably a really, really good spot for what we would be able to do.
Yeah. So depending on seasonality and whatnot, that's probably like 50 more people-ish, depending on where you are in your ebbs and flows. So you're not trying to get to 500. You have a chunk that you want to get to, but you can see it, right? It's realistic. It's on the horizon somewhere.
Absolutely. We're excited right now. I think this is, it's kind of odd to say this because I know that, you know, a lot of people took some really hard hits over the last couple years. But we have sustained through some really tough times. We've come out on the other side with something that we feel really positive that we can do well, that we can grow. And now we're sitting here looking and we're like kind of seeing a finish line of sorts, right? And I know no one is ever finished with it, but you know, we're getting close to probably what we're capable of in our current capacity. And I'm excited to see what that really looks like for us.
Yeah. It may not be the finish line, but it at least feels like you can take a breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you doing to get people in right now? Is it word of mouth, referrals, advertising, standing outside with a wacky inflatable tube man? What's bringing people in the doors?
So, you know, paid marketing is still a reasonable piece for us. Google ads are what turns everyone to us right now. So I would say probably 70% of the people that are reaching out to us have found us on Google searches. You know, we've done other stuff. We've done Instagram. We've done Facebook. They worked until they didn't. And when they quit fast. And so we just haven't had a ton of success on that side of it at the moment, which again, I'm no marketing guru. I can only go by what someone tells me to do at this point, right? You know, it's just not the capacity that I have. I look for support in areas where I'm weak. You know, we don't have a super strong social media presence, or we don't do a ton on that stuff, which may have affected us a little bit, but you know, because we're not a huge facility and I'm coaching and I'm running a business and I'm responsible for, you know, onboarding new members, we found that having really good, strong quality leads would matter. And so having to prospect off people that might be interested, that liked your pictures and clicked and thought they might wander through, was a lot more work than someone who gets on Google and says, you know, personal training by me. That, you know, they're actively searching for something. It wasn't they didn't happen upon us at that point. So Google's been good to us. After 10 years in business, referrals and word of mouth are gold. You know, like, we value those things probably above all else. Those are the easiest ones to capture, and we still have a good load of that stuff. You know, and that's within our gym, but we also have some close business partners that we, you know, we work with as far as, like, we have a physiotherapist and chiropractor that we're super close with. We have, you know, some in-house dietitians that work with us that are strong referral sources. So, you know, close personal networks in Google are probably where we're the strongest right now.
Yeah, and for our listeners out there, there are a lot of people probably nodding their head saying, yeah, social media really, like, when we say social media, I'm just talking Facebook posts, Instagram posts. Those are good ones people already know that they want to look for you. Right? They look at it, they might see your Google ad, then they look at your social media, they're like, all right, this is a real business, looks legit, people look like me, seems like something I want to do. But most gyms, even if they post 2-3 times a day, do stories, do, like, without a celebrity or influencer really behind it, nobody's coming in saying, hey, Tommy, I love your Instagram, sign me up. It just doesn't happen. I'm interested on the Google side, because when we talk paid ads, you know, some people like to really, really dig into the numbers. And I'm always curious to, like, in different parts of the country, especially different markets, are you tracking anything like, you know, dollar over dollar ROI, or like your actual cost to acquire a new customer. You know, like if I spend $50 on Google, I get somebody that comes in, or, you know, for every dollar I put out, I'm getting two or three back. Are you tracking anything like that? Or is it just more by feel right now?
I'm definitely living by feel at the moment. And I would say it's only probably because it feels good. I've had experiences where I was spending money and looking at the return on investment and was like, this is not a good, right? What I was paying per lead, and the time and energy that I was going to chase them down. Like, yeah, I was measuring it when it wasn't in my favor, but right now, no, we've kind of taken the adage, a lead a day and you're okay. And if you can live in that realm, like, you should probably have a reasonable understanding of who, you know, how many people are going to answer your call back and show up for a consult and sign up. And so you start to build some other metrics that can kind of show some quality. And right now we're getting good leads that are answering the call, showing up for consult and signing up as members. And so some people would say, well, you got to strike while the iron's hot, spend more, right? Get more of that stuff in. And I'm like, I agree. I think you're probably right. But, you know, we've also learned that my capacity is the ceiling of the business. And so, you know, turning up the faucet for a bunch of leads right now only waters down the quality that, like, I can come in and meet them and onboard them and give them the experience that I promised. So, you know, I feel like I'm cheating the game a little bit. I don't think anyone gets it this easy, but I'll take it while I have it. And it's been good for the moment.
Take every victory you can get. So basically, your budget is not so much that it hurts, and the outcome for you is it feels, and I'm seeing the results that I think that I should. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The only question I have as a follow-up to that is, are you managing all the leads, all the consults, or are you also splitting that with your trainer?
I manage all the leads and all the consults.
Perfect. That makes an easier question of, what do your consults look like? I see your ad, I click it, we go back and forth. Dom, come on in, let's talk about signing you up, or let's see if you're a good fit, however you frame it. What's that process look like? Because if you're the only one doing it, I'm sure you have a choreographed, whether you think you have a script or not, there's something in your head that you're doing. So what does that look like?
Yeah, so they send us, you know, they fill out something on the web, or they reach out to us, right? Whether it's text or email, or sorry, you know, text, email, call. The first step is always to get them on the phone. And just really to kind of pre-qualify, right? Are they a good fit for us? But do we have a product that fits where they're at and what they need? So simple things like, do you know where we're located? How did you find us? What times have you considered you want to start working out, and, you know, just scheduling stuff, right? Because I don't think anyone wants to, schedule an hour-long consult and go through the full sales setup when they say, yeah, I'd love to work out at lunchtime. And I'm like, you don't have a lunch class, right? Like,
so you're protecting your time, and you're pre-overcoming any objections that might come up in the process.
Yeah, I mean, you could fall either side of it. Some people say, oh, no, don't share your prices until you've built the value. And some people are like, I don't have time to go through that. Like, you know, if they've come this far, like, and you're going to go through that process with them, I'm pretty comfortable at this point saying this is what it costs. I'm not short on members. And so therefore, I feel like my price point is in a good spot. You know, they're not scared to spend it, but they're also not devaluing it where they're signing up for unlimited packages and throwing away all of it because it's just no stress, right? We want to get some of those things out in front so that we're not wasting anyone's time. I mean, time is valuable when you're a small staff, right? Even if you're big, right? I mean, who wants to waste their time chasing down someone when the answer could have been found out a really long time ago that they have no interest in paying what you're asking for or training like you're going to set them up for. So, you know, screen it out, you know, give them the opportunity to ask you hard questions, even if it makes you a little uncomfortable. it's worked out really well. So once we get through that call, the goal is to get them to come in for, we call it a starting point session, you know, and it's just, you know, it's a consultation, but it certainly sounds a lot better when I say it's a starting point or a strategy session where it's not just about me telling them everything, right? It's us creating a process together that suits both of us, right? That I have something that I think I can help them with, but they've got to tell me where they're at. And so, you know, we're just sitting down and creating some dialogue, right? Building some rapport. We found that, you know, that particular session probably builds more trust and sets us up on the right foot for doing what we're doing and how we're doing it by sitting down and just having some conversations, right? You know, who's in their house, right? What do they do for work? What kind of recreation are they taking part of? We're looking for common ground, right? Like, have a conversation, make them feel like, you know, we're of similar nature, right? The last thing you want is to disconnect from where I am into where they are. That's a hard, hard gap to close. So if we can figure out if our kids go to the same schools or the same school district, or they like hiking and I like hiking, or they're a nurse and like my wife's a nurse, like, man, those are hooks, right? That we get the opportunity to start to build some trust.
Awesome. So we have this conversation, right? We're doing it, right? Sounds pretty good. Do you have a one size fits all front end offer? Am I starting off with some PT sessions? Is there a package? Do I just roll into a month to month? What's your general offering look like there once we decide that it's a good fit and we want to work together?
Yeah. We do a 2-week trial for our adults and we do a 1-week trial for our students. So I'll reframe this. The conversation we're having between phone call to strategy session to trial to membership is for our adult members. And we do it a little differently for our athletes. But once we kind of walk through, we do make a prescriptive offer on them, right? For what we think will serve them best. And they usually want to know how many days, right? What am I doing when I'm not here? And what about nutrition, right? So, you know, it's a really low barrier offer. We say, hey, come try us out for a couple weeks, right? Give us the opportunity to kind of continue to craft and create, right? We're training you in a group setting, but we're offering you a personal experience. And so we want to do our due diligence, right? So we take a couple weeks to, you know, if we've decided that 3 days a week is their prime setup, like, then we start them on a 3-day-a-week package. They've come in for those first couple weeks, and then it auto-renews on them. So we tell them, you have 2 weeks to test drive us. Drive us to death. Ask us questions, right? You know, figure out all the things that you need from us, and we're going to be working our stuff on the back end, right? And, like, those are the things that, you know, myself and our coaches have put together to make sure that we can keep good track of them, that, you know, we're going to have a long-time member. But as soon as that 2 weeks is over, if they haven't given us any notice, they're set onto an auto bill. They're going to kick in. They're going to be regular members. And then we're kind of off, right? And so we still kind of keep them into another funnel, right, for those first few months. But we're going to keep some extra tight tabs on them, right? We're doing a weekly check-in, whether it's in person or if they, you know, slip a little bit, right? We're going to call them on the phone. We're going to send them a text. So we've got a schedule for what it looks like to keep track of people on the front end. And so, yeah, that's kind of where we're going, right? Phone call to strategy session to trial to automatic member.
And what's your pricing structure look like? I don't think any prospective clients are probably going to be listening. So for our listeners, you know, for people who are out there wondering, you know, what's it look like in St. Louis, just give us a rough idea, if you don't mind, of your pricing structures for the different programs.
Yeah. You know, so we bill weekly, which best thing we've ever done. Right. And so anyone listening, right, you're move on. Right. It's ancient to live in the realm of month to month here.
And you get yourself like 8% extra per year versus going monthly.
We figured it out when we started running numbers and I realized I'm paying coaches right on this specific schedule, but my revenue isn't coming in at the same schedule. You realize real quick, right, if we think a month as 4-week intervals, and if that's the case, then you've got 13 months, but you're only getting 12 payments. Yeah. And it matters, right? I mean, think about what you're generating on a monthly run and cutting that out. So I felt like for us, we were we were getting paid what we were serving, right? Like it was just a balance in the budget. So yeah, the weekly payments, and then we're asked them for a monthly commitment, right? Where they roll month to month with us. They have lots of flexibility and freedom to, manage how they're doing it. We offer programs from 1 day to 5 days a week, right? And that's just how we have it laid out on paper. One of the things that we cut off about, within the last year was unlimited. We didn't feel like that suited our personal connection with everybody, right? We sell personal training. We don't talk in, even though the model is in group, we sell personal. And, we don't want this arbitrary, however many days I feel like concept coming through. We want it prescribed. We want the coach to be engaged with it. We want to be able to track it, right? There's something that, unlimited creates a lot of variability. It gives them lots of flexibility for how they want to do it, but it also gives them an escape, right? Like their unlimited plan, it doesn't matter. How many days do I work out? As many as I want. So
yeah, there's less value in something that's unlimited. Things like, Netflix or Apple Music or things that people think of that are unlimited. There's less value on it. It's harder to manage your sessions, your staffing, your stuff like that. And then if someone's got a two times a week membership, they're going to come those two times, or three if they have three times, they're probably going to come those three. Like it makes people make a real decision. So getting rid of unlimited is a game changer for a lot of facilities. So
yeah,
for so many different reasons, people see one or two good things and then they do it. Like, I wish I did this from day one or whenever, like the first time someone said it.
Yeah, I think we've all made those mistakes. I don't even think they're mistakes, right? I think it was almost a thing to do, right? When it was, a couple years ago, everyone has unlimited, right? So you're competing with your, the neighbor down the street, right? Because they offer unlimited. And you'll have to stand behind why you're doing what you're doing, but we're steadfast in the process and the product that we're putting forth, and we can live up to it. So the biggest challenge is the people that had unlimited options. When you're taking them away, you'll battle through that a little bit. But any person who's an entrepreneur, like, this is how you make your living, saying I'll figure out how to do this and make it amicable, right? Like we didn't have people drop off or run away because I took away unlimited. We just figured out how many they were utilizing and made sure that they were, we were compensated fairly and that they weren't out much to make it look like we wanted it to look.
Right. You made it make sense. If somebody's got that, I want the most service model. It's like, I want the fastest internet. I want the car with the most horsepower. If there's no difference in price, just give me everything. But if I don't want all that, I don't want to pay for it either. So there's a balance, and you'll find, it's one of those things we all struggle with as facility owners. When you raise prices the first time, you get real scared, and then a couple of people complain, and most people are like, yeah, I get it, you're running a business. And as long as you have the right relationship and people are already sticky and everything else is going well, you're not really going to get the pushback. It's mostly in our heads, right? Almost all that stuff is like a bigger boogeyman than we think it's going to be. And there's a lot of gym owners out there that are afraid to charge, not even what they're worth, quote, because that's subjective, but like what it takes to keep the doors open, what it takes to pay the people you want to pay, and what it takes to have the money. Because if you don't have profit, you can't buy more equipment, you can't get more people. If your ultimate goal is to serve as many people as you feel comfortable that you can do, you can't do any of those things without profit. So like for people who are, don't like that get paid what you're worth thing, but that has nothing. Your own value of that is great. And we get into business to make a certain amount, but also the business just can't live if you don't get paid enough. It just, it's to the detriment of everybody. So it's cool that you realize that there is a number that you need to be at and you don't make excuses or apologize for it. So kudos for that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, we're asking for so much trust from these people. right? They're giving us access to some of their most vulnerable pieces of life, right? What they look like, what the scale might say. You know, like there's a lot of their self-esteem wrapped up in this, right? And like we've asked for so much, but then we've integrated money into it. And we're probably more scared of it than they are. They know there's an exchange for the process, you know, for the product at place. It is. It's terrifying the first time you go and say, I've got to change my prices, right? It is. It's terrifying. And the end result turns out that you made more money. You know, it gave you more. It gave you more opportunity. And I mean, you know, we don't have super close friends with the gyms around us. We're, you know, we stick to ourselves. We're pretty quiet. But I have a lot of friends in the industry scattered across the country, and you know, it's tough. I mean, I almost lost my train of thought here a little bit, but it's
all right.
You know, like you're trying to take care of these people. Like you're trying to get ahead. I'm blown away by how many trainers or business owners in the fitness world probably don't pay themselves much at all. And now that like I've been through it as long as I have, I understand. You know, you put everybody else first, right? You're paying staff, right? You've got facility and equipment. You have all these things that you might not really need. And the last person to eat is you. And you can only live that way for so long. And I think that's probably why there's such an attrition for gym owners, right? Why people sell, or why people close, or why people have second jobs, right? It's because they don't pay themselves. And so we didn't want to. I don't have a backup plan. I don't have a fallback. you know, I don't want to do anything else. Like I love what's happening. And you know, we hit a point in it where it was like, wow, I could work at a sporting goods store and make this. Like, why am I slaving like this? And your people will not fault you for trying to take care of your family and to live a life that, you know, we should live. I'm well educated, right? I've been in it for long enough, and it took me a really long time to see, like, I should probably figure out how to feed me first instead of everybody else.
Very, very well said, sir. So, and one of the things I would just want to bring it back to real quick is you talk about people trust us with this, you know, they trust us implicitly with their bodies, their self-esteem, all of these things that they might not talk to anybody else about, maybe even their partner, their family, whoever. And we do ask for an exchange, right? And it's money. And all you have to do is look around and see people are paying $10, $20, $30, $50,000 for plastic surgery, right, to make themselves look better. And granted, they won't pay us that because there's always this balance, right? We're asking them to do work and it takes longer and they may not have the same belief in the results. So all these decisions come with different factors, but we need to realize, like, the more confidence they have that they're going to get their results, the amount that they're going to pay us can go up. You know, the amount of input that we ask for them versus what they can give. And it does build value. You know, nobody's going to come in and say, hey, Tommy, I'm going to give you $10,000 a month. And in 3 months, I've lost 30 pounds. It's that exchange is never going to happen because they have to do work for it. And there's things like that. But there's definitely more value than the industry would have us believe. And I was in the same boat as far as a lot of people who don't have, you know, some sort of business background or specific plan. Everybody's pricing plan up until more recently was just look at what everybody does around you and try to be in the middle, and everything will be fine, right? If you build it, they will come. And now, you know, there's more education out there and there's more mentorship and there's more information. So guys like you are coming around and saying, like, this is what I need to do, and I'm going to find the best way to get there so that I'm making a good living. My clients are happy because I'm happy. I can give more. My staff is happy. They're making a good living. They're going to treat my clients the way I want. And it all feeds into each other. So thankfully, this information age, is helping, right? There's so much more out there. There's so much more help for gym owners. It didn't exist 5-6 years ago the way that it does. And even this, you know, podcast, like somebody out there in the middle of who knows where, you know, that doesn't have any gym owners around them, just looks on the internet and they go, I guess this is what I'm going to charge. They might hear it and go, oh, all right. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to figure that out in reverse, right? We all say we can charge this and I'll just take what's left. But that model doesn't work for a long time.
No.
Not if you're not a hobby gym or some way otherwise independently wealthy.
Yeah. So, you know, and that kind of triggered me. I mean, I know the question is still out there. What do we charge? You know, it varies between the number of days. So we give a discount for more frequent attenders. You know, and it starts at $24.75 a week for a single session, and it walks down from there. So, you know, every session they add on a week, right, is, you know, a matter of a couple bucks per session. So, I would say, you know, our average member checks in 2.98 times a week, right? We can see that from our CRM and our client management stuff. And so the average members, you know, they're paying 18.50 or, you know, 18 and some change, right, to be in there each session. They're spending right over $200 a month to take and be a part of it. You know, so we, you know, there's something else that you kind of said in there, right? That if we're not a hobbyist or, you know, we're not independently wealthy, you know, there's something to be said too about the presentation that we put out. You're right. Like, there's a major separation for what we can really do for someone, right? The life-changing effect that we have as trainers, and the amount that they'll pay for it. Sometimes it's just in the presentation, right? No one's going to hand us a $10,000 check, right, and say, all right, get it done. It's hard to command that kind of stuff when you go to work in, you know, gym shorts and t-shirts, right? And so, you know, we're always battling out. It's a perk of the business, right? I probably every person as a trainer or a gym owner has been asked the question, well, what else do you do?
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, like they almost don't take you seriously sometimes. Like, certainly you have to have another job. This can't be what sustains you. And I'm like, well, like
I'm a professional, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like I'm like, I have a college degree and I've been doing this for over 15 years and what else would I need to be doing, right? Other than figuring out how to create a sustainable model for you to live longer and healthier. Like, is that not good enough for you? But, you know, that sometimes comes, I found those questions come, you know, when I'm not looking my best, right? When I haven't shaved in a few days or, you know, I'm not wearing a gym represented shirt, right? Like, my shoes are untied. Like, what else would they think, right? Like, how else could I have convinced them that, like, this is a real job, this is a real career that, like, I support my family off of? Sometimes they can't see it. So we have to show it to them, right? So, like, as we've come up in, you know, how much we charge and the, you know, the approach that we give when we're bringing them in, like, we set those standards in place. Like, this is what we want our people to look like, and this is how we want them to talk. Like, we've choreographed all of that to the point that I don't want people asking me what else I do. Like, it's offensive. Like, you know, my heart and my mind are so driven on them, and like, that's the response I get. But how else would they have known? I showed them something that, like, they couldn't see.
Yeah, but you're not just getting offended by it. You're realizing that it's a presentation and how you package yourself, and you're doing something about it. You took that realization and said, if I want to be paid like a professional, if I want to be treated like a professional, I need people to believe that I'm a professional. So you're not just complaining, you're taking care of it. And you're working towards, you know, every day or week or month that it happens less, you know, you're making progress. So it's just another way you can benchmark yourself. And that's great. So as we come full circle here, you know, you've been in this 10 years, right? You've gotten through on the other side of COVID, kind of pivoted your business model a little bit, but realized that maybe in the long run, it's for the better. You have a pretty solid system. You're getting people in the door. You have a coach who stepped up and took some responsibility. solid sales process. A lot of things are in place there. What's your number one goal that you're chasing, and what's the biggest obstacle to it?
Man,
maybe there's more than one, you know, if you have a couple, but you know, everybody has that thing that keeps them up at night that they're like, you know, maybe it's those 50 more members, 50 more good members that you're like, I just want to be at that spot where I can breathe. There's always something, right? When we dig into the conversation with someone's like, yeah, that's the thing I think about the most. I'm trying to fix that.
I think probably the scariest thing is when you hold so much power over your business. The scary part is to say, like, what if I couldn't be here, right? Like, what if something happened to me? What would happen to my business? And again, like, you know, I think on the short term, like, I'm not superhuman. Like, I love mountain biking, right? What if I send my mountain bike into a tree and I'm out of work for 6 weeks? Like, what does that look like? And because I carry on so much of the responsibility for, you know, maintaining the business, I think that's something that, like, has to be considered, right? I manage all the consultations, all the leads that come in. You know, I've gotten a little bit better at handing off some of the tasks that don't belong on my plate, you know, so finding the balance between, you know, giving my, you know, right-hand man the tasks that I do, letting them see them and yet not making them responsible for them, you know, creating some sort of playbook that someone could pick up and at least hold in place until, you know, I can come back and right the ship again. I think that would be probably the most intense thing. You know, again, there's two of us running all these sessions, and anyone who's trained in a group model, especially again, to have that kind of personal connection to everybody, it's a significant amount of mental weight that you're going to carry. So 40 hours, even 30 hours of training throughout the week is too much. Yeah. You know, we aim to probably say 20 hours is probably enough. And then, you know, on the backside of that, you've got to be able to maintain your workouts and the members that you're assigned to and whatever other tasks that you've acquired. And so finding the balance between, like, saying, well, if I left, you know, could someone keep it afloat? Could one person keep it afloat for, you know, a little bit of time? And the answer is, like, I don't think so. Not to the capacity that we would prefer. So finding, you know, what that looks like without having to say, okay, well, I have another completely full-time employee. I do have, you know, I'm not completely lost on this. Like, I've got a couple friends and partners that, like, if in a pinch, like, could step in and kind of help me carry some of that. But, you know, you want to ask someone to do that? No. So
it's like it's the vacation test, right? It's like, could you go on vacation for 2 weeks, right? It's a reasonable amount of time, and tell whoever is in the facility, if something happens, handle it. Unless the place is on fire, all right? Well, I can't help you there anyway, but let me know. But other than that, just knowing that you can step away, not indefinitely, because I don't think there's a business that exists like that on our level, right? The owner is always going to be involved to some degree, but knowing you can step away and all the processes will be taken care of is huge. That's, you know, some people, I've heard it called morbidly, like, the, you know, the car accident test or something like that. I'm like, let's settle down. Let's just say you go on vacation and people could reach you, but you just want things to run, right? So not that you're abandoning the business, but you need to know that it could happen if something worse happened.
Yeah.
You don't want to stress test it that way, though.
Yeah. I mean, and we, you know, I know what the limit is right now, right? With two people, you can take a week off, and then you're going to have to go right back to it, right? You don't have much more than that. That's just a heavy burden to carry. And we figure that out, right? Both myself and my other coach have taken two vacations, right, over the last, you know, 3 months, where, you know, one was long, one was short. But by the time that you were wrapping up that, you know, by the time they were wrapping up vacation, you were begging for them to come back, like begging for them to come back. And so it can be done, right? It's a short-term process. But again, it kind of goes back to us saying, well, this is, it's running smooth. It runs okay right now, but this is not permanent. This is not where we want to stand and continue to operate the business.
Awesome, man. I appreciate the insight, and I think that you're right on the right track there. We're running up on time. So before we let you go, you're 10 plus years in the game. You've done a lot. You've seen a lot. For our listeners out there, if you had one tidbit, one nugget, one little piece of wisdom that you wish that you had and you wish you could share with everybody, what would it be?
I would say, you know, you can get away with a lot if you treat people right. You know, right is always right and wrong is always wrong. And, you know, whatever you want to call it, karma or, you know, whatever's dictating how things are happening sometimes, but it's just really seemed to make a difference that we always just took care of people, right? That we did prioritize and take care of those that, like, we said we would, even when it was hard, even when financially it didn't always line up. It gave us a lot of credit in the bank when we had to make hard decisions or we did fall short. And so, you know, I'm not a businessman through and through. Like, I'm a coach and a trainer. That's what I pride myself on. But the only thing that's probably kept me in business for as long as I've had is that they would offer grace because, like, they knew where I stood and that I had never stepped outside of that. Right was always right. Wrong was always wrong. And, like, I always cared about them.
Awesome. I like it. And I hope somebody out there hears it and it resonates with them. Last thought of business before we let you go, where can people find you online? Facebook, Instagram, website, give us all the info, give us the addresses.
Yeah. I mean, we, certainly our website is set and stable. It's where we collect, you know, where we direct a lot of our stuff to. So that's at donovanstrength.com. You know, on Facebook, again, Donovan Strength and Conditioning. And then we have an Instagram out there. I think it's DSC_STL, I think is the handle that sits there.
I checked it out. You're right. That's what it is.
All right. Like I said, this is not my strong suit. And this goes back to the capacity thing, right? You recognize, yeah, like, you know, you can only do so much, so you got to put your eggs in the right basket. So,
yeah. Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. This has been another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, make sure you subscribe, get notified when new episodes drop. Also, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever website, Stitcher, Amazon, Audible, wherever you heard this, leave us a review. If you're interested in being on the podcast, there is a link in the description. Fill out that form, and we will get back to you to talk about being on the podcast. Once again, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I'm your host today, Joe Fitzgerald, and we are here to talk business. We have the owners of Badass Academy out of Brooklyn, New York, joining us today. Gentlemen, how are you? What is going on?
What's up, Joe?
What's up, man? How are you? Thank you for having us today.
We are excited to have you guys. Badass Academy, this is a business I'm excited to dive into. But I don't want to paint on your canvas, guys. Give us an idea for the people who aren't as familiar with this facility. What is this gym about? What do we do?
So about 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago, Jose and I started teaching, you know, quote unquote boot camp, which is what everyone was calling it back then, in the park for free for 2 years. And we built a following. We purchased a van with a whole bunch of equipment we used to fill it up with. And we turned it into a facility today that we have two locations and two juice bars in it. with the franchise juice bar too.
Pretty much we saw there was a lot of people out in the community that lacked motivation. Some financially were struggling, and you know, we would see people like jogging along the park or in the street, you know, just trying to get in shape, trying to do better. Some were overweight and still, you know, doing their thing, trying to lose that weight. And we were like, you know what, let's start something in the community. Let's get these people. Let's do it for free. Let's help, you know, these individuals that want the help, but some can't really afford it, or, you know, and let's see where it goes. And we started with four individuals, and within 6 months we were training 120 a night, and we did it for free. You know, and it was just the multitude was amazing, and just the vibe, the environment, it was such a great thing that it became pretty much a family. People meeting people and becoming friends, and you know, working together, and just great networking. And we were like, one day we were like, hey, you know what? Let's take this even further. Let's now make this official. Let's create something with a foundation now, and let's open up our own place. You know, it's time.
Yeah, that passion that you spoke of, that desire to help people, is sort of a prerequisite in our business, right? You don't get to be any kind of longevity in fitness without that as the core of your purpose, right? There are ways to make money, yes. There are ways to utilize it as an asset, yes. But at the essence of it, you got to want to help people, or else you're going to burn out really, really quick. Go ahead.
That's also what keeps our members here, because they know our want, they know our need and our passion. And we get away with a lot of yelling at our members because they know that we do it from the heart, you know? So they're like, oh, they just yell at us this much because they love us. You know, like, we're like their parents.
Because they care. Yeah.
We get away with a lot because they know where it comes from.
Yeah, and so Anthony, you mentioned it started as a boot camp. Is the focus, now that you guys have this physical location, still on the group training side of that?
So what, just a boot camp in general? Is that your question?
Yeah, is the service delivered? Are we still on the focus being group training?
It's really group fitness and one-on-one training. And of course, you know, Jose and I have been training martial arts since we're kids. So we add women's self-defense to it. We have a nutritionist in here. We have supplements. You know, there's a lot of other avenues that we're able to collect some revenue from that we've been adding little by little.
Got it. Okay. So a number of different ways for the business to collect revenue, right? We've got the group training membership. We've got the upsell to personal training. We've got nutrition. We've got supplementation. We've got this specialty niche with self-defense classes that really helps protect against things that we experienced, like a pandemic, right? So many facilities that had just one deliverable, suddenly that deliverable gets taken away and you have no income. We're both in New York. New York really experienced tough times, but you guys, coming from the beginnings in the park, probably were able to withstand that a little bit more uniquely than other people. Talk us through your experience throughout the pandemic.
Well, I'll tell you what, for starters, probably the two words that I've heard, and I'm sure Jose would agree with this, the most during everything since the pandemic started, was shift and pivot. Jose and I are very resilient people, so we're able to shift and pivot very quickly. So what we did was, right away, we went to virtual live, like everybody else did. And, you know, that for us was challenging because, you know, we think, okay, we could do this, no problem. But yet we have four cameras propped up and we're the only ones in the facility teaching to four cameras live, knowing people watching, but we can't hear anything on the back end. You know, we're doing the entire workout, and we were working out before too for our own personal workout, not to mention doing their workout. And, you know, the first day that both of us taught, we were doing it 3 days a week. We were like, wow.
3 days a week, three times a day.
I'm sorry, 3 times a day, 7 days a week. I'm sorry.
So, you know, we'll do it at 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and 7 p.m. And it was like, you know, hey, I don't mind the yelling, but now I'm just yelling at myself. You know, there's just cameras in front of me now.
Sorry.
In the beginning, it was cool because we knew there was 40, 50, 60, 100, 200 people watching live because it was the beginning. But then after a while, they knew, okay, well, you know what? they're going to do this class, and it's going to be in our video system, right? So
in the library.
In the library. We're going to watch it later on. So a lot of these members were watching it hours later. But when we were actually doing it live, it was just us. And I'm over here yelling at this camera, and I'm like, I'm turning into a psychopath. I'm going to become a serial killer after you know, like
– So you have this now asset that you created, though. Of course, nobody wished for a pandemic, but it forced really unique circumstances where you guys were recording 21 workouts a week to add right. to your library. Have you been able to monetize that or provide it as value to your membership beyond the live
stream? Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, we haven't utilized it to the extent of what we want. What we wanted to, however, but we are working off of it. You know, everything happens for us, right? Not to us. So it's something, did we wish that any of this happened? No, but at the same time, it's not that we're glad that it happened, but we've learned so much. We've been able to open up doors that would not have opened if this didn't happen. We were able to meet a lot of great people. And during the pandemic as well, we went back outside and started teaching outdoors where we were, again, 140, 160 people on a football field, you know, taking up the entire field. You know, Jose and I were screaming like, you know, like he is. And it was great. So we got to relive our stomping grounds of how we started. And it was great. I mean, all around from every angle. So,
yeah. It's important to have that sort of silver lining mentality, right? Everybody, you could easily sit home and bitch, oh, I can't operate, the doors are closed. But you guys took this as just in stride, right? This is something that's going to happen. Everybody's dealing with the same shit.
Everybody.
Let's figure out what we can do about it. And so,
well, like they say, right? How are you going to respond, right? We lead by example. Every single day of our lives, no matter what, especially what we do for a living, but we're just that people, those kind of people. So what are we gonna do? Sit home and not do anything about it? Ain't nobody got time for that.
No, sir. And so, gentlemen, give us an idea, the physical space as it exists today. We're okay. Based in Brooklyn, New York. What is the size of the facility that we're working with?
Right, so Brooklyn is 6,000 square feet. There's two floors. The basement is, which are locker rooms, which we've now turned into nutritionist office, massage therapy, and stretching. That's around 1,200 square feet. And then we have a mezzanine area, which is about 600 square feet. But all in all, it's probably around 70, 75, 7,600 square feet, if you include the basement. Yeah, which, you know, for young guys starting off, we're like, yeah, we could do this. You know, we made a bunch of mistakes along the way, but we're happy that we did it. And then the Queens location is 1,800 square feet. So what we did was we created a different structure to go smaller. So our overhead is less and our buy-in, which is the build out and to get everything up and going, is a lot less. So that will be more profitable.
Okay. And so two locations.
Right.
7,000 plus square feet in Brooklyn. That's a decent size spot. Give us an idea how many members you guys are working with in that location.
Just a little over 1,200 before the pandemic started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so post-pandemic, has that taken a hit?
Yeah. Right now we're a little under 600.
Okay.
So it's more than half. And listen, it's still rough. We're still fighting every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what about the Queens location? A little bit smaller facility. How many people do you work with out of that spot?
So now Queens is opening in 3 weeks.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So shifted the focus more towards Brooklyn and the rebuild there, and then we'll get onto Queens. Okay, cool. So we've got some rebuilding to go. 1,200 even at the height, does that fill the facility? What do you think you could handle as far as a membership within that space?
Well, we were doing 10 to 12 classes a day. So we were starting at 6 a.m. all the way through till, you know, 8:30 p.m. at night, and sometimes they were double, you know, upstairs was spin while downstairs was a total body class. And then there will be a sculpting class downstairs while another spin class was going on. So there were time periods where there were double classes going on where downstairs was 60 people being trained and upstairs was 20, 22 people being trained at the same time. I mean, the facility is big enough. We've done classes downstairs with 100 people in the class. I mean, swinging sledgehammers, climbing cargo nets, using battle ropes. you know, and then another 40, 50 upstairs. So at one time, we would have 150, 160 people, you know, working both floors, you know. So it's big enough. And when we had at the height of everything, we had all the classes available. And then once the pandemic hit and we reopened, we had to kind of minimize all the classes and try to like rebuild from there.
Yeah.
We started with, you know, at first we started with two classes after the pandemic, and then three, then four. And now, you know, we just, you know, little by little, as weeks come in, come go and leave, we just add another class here and there. And, you know,
I think we could have added another 600 members though.
To get to 18?
We could have went to 18.
Yeah. And so what do these people pay on average in a given month? How does that look?
So there's 2-year membership, 1-year membership, 6-month. And then they can buy class packages, right?
Okay.
So you have 145 for 1 year, then you have 125 for 2 year, then you have 175 for 6 months. And then you have classes of 25 each, 10 is 225, 20 classes is 400. So they'll save a class or two when they purchase in bulk.
Yeah, so these are good price points. These are right on par with industry average for this type of group fitness bootcamp style class. Walk us through the marketing, right? Because we have been at 1,200. We're down somewhere in the sixes now, but we think we could add probably 1,000 to that. What does the marketing look like to bring new people in?
So obviously, you know, the marketing, social media, right? What it has done and what it continues to do for everyone, that'll always stay live and going. But for us, it's more guerrilla marketing, right? It's door to door. It's door tags. It's flyers. It's knocking on businesses' front windows. It's calling people up. It's being outside, the exposure. You know, any chance that we get, we're speaking to people. So that for us is like the biggest seller and the biggest thing to bring people in. But then we're doing ads, right, on Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. Right? We're doing the boosts here and there with some strategic marketing video pieces that we put together. And then, of course, there's when we do like the bring a friend thing. We'll send out our email blast. You know, we have like 60,000 people just in our immediate emails. Then that's from physical people that are coming in here. That's not even tapping into anything else. And then events too, right? You team up to do events. Let's say we team up with the hair salon to do an event with them. You know, little things like that to continue to build the community, right? Because it's like a Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts. It's what's accessible for people and what they obviously prefer. But if a gym is good enough for them and their likings and they're attracted to it, they'll go that extra mile. So if we could continue to meet people and people, they'll travel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just like we talked about earlier with businesses needing to have different revenue sources, businesses need to have different lead generation sources as well. You touched on 5 or 6 in a matter of a minute or two. Those are all tremendous, right? Marketing is a really general term that's an umbrella for so many different things. We're getting leads from things like door tags, knocking on doors, getting out in the community, hosting events. Of course, Facebook and Instagram paid social media ads can fill the gaps of those things. But the important part is that it's coming from a variety of sources, right? If we have one and suddenly, if we're entirely based on Facebook ads and suddenly Facebook algorithm changes, we can't get new leads in the door, we're kind of screwed. Right. We diversify with a number of different sources and things are a little bit more consistent. You as business owners have more control as to the number of people coming in the facility. Now, walk us through, this is a high membership group. I assume there's some sort of sales process in place. Walk us through, once we get that lead, what happens on the way to them becoming a paid member?
Okay, so you're asking if someone's coming in, right, what's the process from the moment they step foot in the door, right?
Yeah, businesses, I mean, within our industry, people have phone consultations. Some people sign up directly through a website. Some people have in-person or Zoom consultations. What does that look like for you?
So that I can't tell you how many times Jose and I will either WhatsApp or FaceTime someone if they prefer, right? Sometimes we do an eval, an evaluation on them through the phone so that this way we could see where they're at, because some people ask. There's some people that sign up directly on the website. There's some people that sign up on the app, our own app, or the – we use Mind Body software. So some people that are a member of other gyms, they'll do that. Some people that come in through ClassPass or any of these outside platforms that that are integrated into ours, they come in through there. Once they come in, then, you know, then it just goes to sales 101. I mean, they're not leaving, you know, they're coming in and they're, you know, our success rate is like 80-something%. So we'll sell them, we'll get them in. And we try and tell them, hey, listen, take a class. That's all they got to do.
That's it. We don't. And the thing is that it's pretty much, we just sell ourselves. It's not even like we're trying to pitch this or take a class, you know, see how you feel.
Test drive it, right?
It's instant.
Get your hands on the product, see how it feels. Once you experience it, of course, that sales process becomes a whole lot easier for you guys, right?
Oh, big time. And then not to mention, we have juice bars in our facility, which is, you know, the franchise that we have. It's a reputable brand. I think they have 19 locations now. So it's known. It complements our brand and vice versa. A lot of times we'll have people come down to the busier classes so that they could see and feel the energy. We show them around the facility. And, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's tremendous, guys. Now, we've talked about how things stand. We've talked about how we will be attracting new members and the sales process behind that. What does the future look like, right? We're trying to rebuild the membership, of course, potentially to go beyond what the membership has been. What's the big picture vision for you guys?
So what we've, and this is why we restructured and opened a second location. And by the end of the year, we're going to be in Staten Island too as well.
For a third.
Right. It'll be the third location.
Okay.
So we would like to get 5 locations open in our surrounding areas. And if we could blow the walls out of those locations, that's right here, this goal. And then the long-term, maybe it's a franchise that we could franchise. Maybe it's something that we could maybe sell the entire brand to one person and then go from there. I mean, that's something that we've toyed with, not confirmed, but we love what we do. So it's something that we probably would never leave, even if we did sell. I don't know. What do you think, Jose?
I'll be teaching to my dying day.
Kick him out. He won't leave even if you want him to leave.
Nah. I yell in my dreams. So there's no way that could ever stop me.
Perfect. That's why his first wife left him.
There's more opportunities. He'll find another. And so guys, what is, to expand on that, I guess, we know what we want for the business growth. What does growth look like for you as entrepreneurs? What do you want?
So for me, to impact, the more lives that we could impact, the better. You know, that's always a goal, right? And I always say, if I could stay good for me, I could stay good for first and foremost, my family, my wife, my son, my brother, and everybody else, then I'm good for them. Because then I know I'm impacting. And then, of course, the financial growth too as well, right? We want to succeed financially as well. We're already succeeding in people. We're succeeding physically in ourselves, in our own personal health, and our family and our relationships. So the missing component that's not really missing because we're acquiring it, but we want to grow more, what I would say financially. What about you, Jose?
It's the same thing. I've been teaching now for 26, 27 years, and it's a passion that, you know, I wake up every morning and I thank God that I've been given the opportunity to live my dream, you know, my two dreams. And, you know, for people to say that, especially in these days, it's tough. You know, I'm blessed to say that my two jobs, my two careers are just my true dreams, you know, and I would not want my life any other way. But, you know, the more people we touch, the more growth we have, you know, the better it is. You know, we love hearing stories of members and individuals that said, you know, I was going through this, I was going through that. Now I'm a better man. Now I'm a better woman. Now my marriage is better. You know, now I can relate to my kids. You know, my kids are happy because we bring that mental happiness and mental growth and mental zen to the household, you know, to the workplace, you know. So it kind of like, you know, we pay it forward, but then it comes around and it gets paid forward to us because now we feel this greatness. We feel this zen. We feel this blessing. You know, so to be able to project something and it's a bounce back to us, I mean, what more could you want?
Yeah, you're giving me goosebumps, man. I'm ready to run through a wall for you right now. I love it. And so, guys, it sounds like you're teed up, ready for this rebound. New York Fitness is certainly coming back. I'm excited for you. I absolutely thank you for your time. I can't wait to see what comes next for you.
Thank you. We appreciate you having us, too, big time.
Thank you, Joe.
Absolutely. And so to everyone who tuned in, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in coming on the show to talk about your business model, how you operate within the fitness arena, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. To all of our gym lords out there, keep educating yourself, continue to make an impact in your community. Don't be afraid to make a whole bunch of money while you do it. Until next time, gym lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on PrestigeLabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I'm your host, Dominic, and today I'm here with Lori and Joe Dorion from Jomla Rowing and Studio 150 Fitness in Littleton, New Hampshire. How you guys doing?
Great. How you doing?
Awesome. Awesome. Glad to have you guys here today. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us. We're just going to get right into it. So Lori and Joe, you guys have kind of a unique setup there up in the mountains of New Hampshire, where you have a gym within a gym. You have Jomla Rowing, which has 10 of these like state-of-the-art kind of self-service pre-programmed workout rowers, right? A lot of technology helps people get a guided workout that you don't have to handhold necessarily, but it's a good size space. You're in a 2000 square foot room there, but within that you have Studio 150 Fitness, where Lori is doing one-on-one training in a women's only specific niche, but she can pop out and teach group classes if she wants in the big room where the rowers are. So I think gym within a gym is the best way. It's kind of two things that have some synergy there. So give us a little bit of a background of your idea behind that and how it came to be, and then we'll go from there.
So Studio 150 Fitness I had, and our original idea was to have a women's only gym. So we found a space that we liked and started decorating that. And then COVID hit and we had to shut everything down. Shutting down gave us some time to think about things. And ultimately we came up with the idea that maybe it wouldn't be a good idea to limit our clientele to only women. We thought maybe we should do something a little more co-ed. I incorporate rowing into my personal training. So we thought, hey, there's no rowing studios in town or in the surrounding area. So we thought, you know, that might be a good idea. We started looking at rowers online. Seeing what was out there, we stumbled upon, thought they were really cool, contacted the company. They weren't really into commercial sales yet, but, you know, we told the, you know, the salesman our idea, and he thought it was a good idea. and they sent us one to our home to check it out. And, you know, we tried it and we thought it was really great. So things kind of just went from there. So we redecorated the whole place, waited until we could reopen, got everything COVID ready, you know, the rowers, we only have 10 of them in that space. And here we are. Did I miss anything?
No, you covered it all. It's, so, you know, we opened up last October, the rowing studio part, and reintroduced Studio 150 internal to the rowing studio. You know, it's been a slow process of rebuilding the business, you know, starting business from scratch after COVID pandemic. It's still in the pandemic. So it's, you know, we're on that constant up battle. And, you know, as of today, we're finally making some ends meet and we're moving forward.
All right. So what are you guys doing now that you've reopened, reintroduced the Studio 150 and this new concept of Jomo Rowing? What are you doing to get people in the door?
So from the community aspect, we kind of focus a little bit on social media. Using up here, you know, it's a lot of word of mouth, a lot of Facebook, a lot of, you know, we do Insta and post on Insta, but we find Insta is more national, global. It doesn't seem to be hitting, highlighting here in the Northeast Kingdom. So really Facebook and a lot of word of mouth.
Yeah, and then for Studio 150 Fitness, whenever I have a new client, I ask how they found me, and I'm just a simple Google search. I have had some come through word of mouth through Facebook, but typically it's a Google search.
Okay. And so no,
haven't really done any.
No real advertising, not paying money to the Zuckerberg for, you know, sponsored posts, Facebook ads, paying for search engine optimization. You're not doing any of that stuff yet.
No, we're not doing that yet.
Okay. Cool. So you're still new enough and the community small enough that you're getting an inflow from word of mouth and just regular organic Google search.
Correct.
Cool. And where are you as far as combined? How many new people would you say are finding you that way a month? I know you're in a town of, you know, 6,000 people up there in the high country of New Hampshire. So what does that look like as far as, you know, people coming in?
We go through kind of like the peaks and valleys as the area is. You know, we have months where we take in 5 or 6 new people, and then the next month we may not take in anybody. So we flattened it out throughout the year. We're probably averaging 2 to 3 new people on a monthly basis. You know, and plus you also have people falling off on the backside of it. Fortunately, the people that fall off from us go and purchase a rower and leave us, which is an unusual situation, but they enjoy the product so much that they end up buying one themselves.
So you guys do have something built in there that kind of helps the stickiness, where your personal training may feed into them being members of Jola and coming in for the rowing workouts, or maybe vice versa. So that's something you have noticed that some people are taking advantage of and helping them stay or sort of elevate their membership, right?
She can continue prescribing exercise for people beyond what the sessions that she's having with them. So it keeps them constantly engaged and helps them on their fitness journey.
Yeah, cool. Engagement is the name of the game, right? The more value you can provide more times over, the longer somebody is going to stay in your orbit there.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So you have this facility, you have some people coming in kind of organically, you know, like you said, that you have your peaks and valleys, but you know, it's 2,000 square feet and then the other 400 space. What do you guys think as far as what's your long-term, you know, the Jim Collins big, hairy, audacious goal? Like, where do you see capacity versus where you want to be with this place come a year, 2 years down the line? What are your goals there as far as membership and the two components?
I mean, membership wise, for the rowing aspect, I mean, Target really love to be in that. We're not really want to jam the place. We just want to looking at about 50 members. We're looking at, we're more of a community type based, you know, group. We enjoy, we try to put on events for our members and stuff like that over and above just the partaking in the rowing. So really the target is to get around that 50 by the end of the year. I mean, right now we're running in that 25 range. So we need, we need a little bit more of a boost to get closer to our target for the end of the year. In the personal training aspect, I know Lori's schedule right now, she's full 3 days of the week with clients and sporadic on the other 2 days, but trying to keep it into, you know, for the summer aspect, we like to keep it 3 days a week because we certainly like the joy of getting outdoors ourselves and having a chance to get out with the youngster and the dog and stuff like that and do our things.
So any plans as it grows to where, you know, you people don't own a business to be a slave to it. And I totally get that. And New Hampshire's got so much to enjoy. I can see why you're not just, you don't want to run yourselves ragged and be there 7 days a week. Have you guys had any discussions about as you grow, would it be cool to have another trainer to kind of leverage the space without you having to be there or anything like that? Is that something that you've kicked around?
We've reached out to a few different people and asked them if they would love to join the team. They, you know, everybody shows yes interest, but it's been trying to get people to work has been a hard thing to do lately. So
I think it's like everything else. I mean, I put out a post looking for if somebody wanted to come do a yoga class or a Zumba class because the space is so big. I reached out to see if other personal trainers wanted to join so that, you know, we could offer personal training to men, but crickets.
Yeah, it's not easy for anybody right now, but it's good that you guys are at least have that thought process.
Oh yeah.
As far as we don't want to be here. You know, some people just want to live and die in the gym 24/7. And I can understand that grind mentality, but eventually it will also kind of grind you into dust. So, you know, that's something that you have to find a balance, right? Not everybody is about that balance or don't realize they need it. But the world will give you the wake up call and tell you that you're going to need it for sure. So you guys have like really cool, you know, state-of-the-art technology there with the rowers. I'm interested in you guys and how you're the type of people to go out and research that stuff. Have you looked at any other like different types of equipment that you could add in, you know, whether it was a different type of machine or anything like that, that would kind of help that barrier where you give more value to the customers, but also make it harder for them to go out and, well, I just like this one piece of machinery so I can buy it. But if there's a second one, you know, maybe it makes it a little tougher to leave you too, make them a little stickier.
Yeah, that's the one of those future things that we've both been discussing and how to add a little bit more value and interest because people do get, you know, funny, but most of the people that do come in and row, they really enjoy the rowing part. And they find out there's other things being offered there with the Pilates and the yoga and the strength and cardio exercising that's involved with the equipment itself. So our next venture we started doing was we added small little weights around the studio so mm-hmm. that people, when they're doing their strength exercises after doing the rowing, they have weights available for them to go along with the program that's running. In the future, we're looking at adding another, just a total little separate weight, free weight lifting area where they can, you know, people can just focus on that if they want to be separated from the rowing aspect. So, like I said, we do have the advantage of having a large space that we haven't really filled up yet. And we're just bandering different ideas of putting things in there. I mean, obviously, we think we, if we looked at things like cycle, you know, cycles, stuff like that, you know, we have space to add that type of stuff. And we looked at the possibility of just adding various lifting equipment. But right now, I think we're going to take this one little step at a time.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. Like, I, you know, you have to grow the membership, feel a little more comfortable, but you have your eyes on what you're going to do and different milestones there, whether it's adding people, wherever your biggest return on investment is, right? Weights, just something like that. So, Laura, you have a nutrition certification too. You offer some nutrition coaching.
I have, no, I'm not a nutritionist, but I have certifications. You know, I have like a fitness nutrition certification, weight loss, and then I have a health coaching certification through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. But I'm, okay. I don't have a degree in nutrition.
Sure, sure. And I know different states have different rules and regulations of that, but are you able to offer, you know, fitness or health-based nutrition plans that can lead into maybe selling people, you know, supplements if there's a particular brand or something that you believe in? Is that something that you're able to do and that you've explored or thought about?
Yep, it's within my scope of practice to educate people. And I could, you know, sell supplements and stuff like that. I can't prescribe meal plans, you know, that's not within my scope of practice, but I can certainly educate and show the client how to calculate their needs and, you know, guide them in the direction of, you know, healthy foods, what's healthy, what's not, kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that you're conscious of scope of practice, because it's super easy to get overzealous and try to overstep what you're allowed to do. And then, you know, owners can kind of step in it sometimes with that overreaching. And then you have some liability on your hands and whatnot, but it does position you a little bit more as the expert. And as someone would say, you know, you could do this, or here's this thing. And if you want to use this calculator, you can. And oh, by the way, these are my favorite brands, and you don't have to go to the health food store to buy them. Like, you know, maybe something in the future where you could say, I just happen to carry them here. So yeah. Always looking at, you know, in a small space, smaller community, different ways that you can maximize the audience you have, as long as it's in alignment with your beliefs, something that you can stand behind, something that you feel good about, right? Nobody wants to be sold something just to be sold, but if you have things that you believe in, it certainly can help, right? And the more revenue you bring in, the more you can offer to your clients, and then that cycle just kind of keeps feeding itself there.
Absolutely.
So I think that from where you stand, it looks like you have a really good handle on where you are, what you want to do, the steps that you're taking to get there, and have a pretty solid plan in place for that. So here we are on the other side of COVID. You guys have been through some ups and downs. You've kind of had to reinvent, but you're still on the other side of it, optimistic about these things that you're going to do in your community. So I know some of our listeners are going to be in a similar position. So having been through what you have and looking towards the future and still having that outlook, what, if any, words of wisdom or things have you learned in the past couple of years that you think would be most beneficial for our listeners?
don't open a gym right before a pandemic.
Right, yeah. Get a crystal ball, right?
Yeah, get a crystal ball. I think, I mean, we did our market research. We did what we felt was comfortable for what we could handle. But as I said, words of wisdom, probably find a real good specialist in marketing.
Yeah.
And someone to really market the product and the system. I mean, background was obviously, I came up in the software engineering world and in sales and marketing, but it's totally different beast to being in the fitness industry. So to have people that are in tune with the fitness industry and how to market fitness would probably be the best words of wisdom I could offer anybody, is find a professional that can do that for you.
Yeah, which we have not found ourselves yet either. You know, we tried working with someone and that's not going so well.
But we'll keep getting there. We're going to keep plugging away and keep finding the right mix of people to make our team work.
Yeah. I wish sometimes that this wasn't an audio only podcast, because if you're listening, you can't see. These guys are both maintaining, you know, big smile, optimism. So they're keeping their head up. They're fighting through, right? Whatever Mother Nature had to try to kick them with the pandemic. And we all got beat up by that. But also realizing that you have room to grow and you still have things to share is fantastic. So we're running up on time here, but before we go, let our listeners know where they can find you, what social media handles there are, website, anything there.
So the website for Jola Rowing is info@jolarowing.com.
No, that's the email.
That's the email. Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. JolaRowing.com, JolaRowing.com. So we're there.
And it's the same thing for Instagram. It's just Jola Rowing and Facebook, Jola Rowing. Studio 150 Fitness.
Studio150Fitness.com. That's where you're going to find the website there.
Yep.
And it's the word studio, the numbers, 150Fitness.com, right?
Correct. Yes. And, you know, it's all... both businesses are located in Littleton, New Hampshire. We're there basically 24/7, it feels like some days. And, you know, so if anybody's in the area, come drop in and say hello, because we'll be there.
You get a lot of tourist activity up there. Is it something where people come up for resort stuff that they can drop in on you?
We do have a large tourist industry that comes in and out of here. What we did since the pandemic was we tried to avoid having individuals coming in and drop-ins. Now that the restrictions are kind of less, we can be a little bit more lenient on that. Because we weren't set up for contact tracing and you know, that wasn't our goal.
Totally.
We do have a few people that have contacted us through the hydro community.
And that have been up here and they've come in a row with their own login info.
They're more than welcome to join us for a day. We do charge a nominal fee for them to come in and use the facility. So that's where we do have our technical drop-in location.
But it goes back to marketing. We haven't marketed ourselves to the resorty type places. And you know, we do have a couple transients that are up here from Florida. And they have like seasonal memberships with us.
But if our listeners are up there, if you hear this post-pandemic, right, which hopefully we're on the other side of it, and you're up there vacationing, checking out the White Mountains, and you want to get a workout in, contact these guys. If you're not going to be in New Hampshire and you just want to live vicariously through some beautiful landscapes and whatnot, check them out. Plan a trip to Littleton. Look at the websites. Maybe you'll get some ideas. Business owners, you know, there's a ray of sunshine there, right? Even though the world's been rough, you still got people like you that are out there trying to fight back. So I appreciate your time today. And that's another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. If you like what you heard today, remember, subscribe, get notified of new episodes. We're dropping them once or twice a week, every week. Leave us a review. Once again, Lori and Joe, thanks for your time. Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.